It is a privilege to be here, and I appreciate the elders asking me and giving me the opportunity to speak to you this morning. And I hope that something is said that can help you in your struggle this week with the devil and his temptations that he's going to give to us. I'm waiting for the overhead to come up, and they're just not here yet. Harold and then we'll get it here in just a moment, I'm sure. There we go. Title of this morning's lesson is Living with Life's Regrets. And before I begin the lesson, there was, I want to tell you a little story about this young boy. He came home from church one Sunday morning. He was just as excited as he could be. He came home and he said, "Daddy," now don't ask me why Daddy wasn't home with him, but he said, "Daddy, I found out this morning what Bible means." And Daddy, you know, we've looked for years to figure out what the Bible means. And he says, "Well, Daddy, it means basic instructions before leaving Earth." B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving Earth. And so, Henry, you would like that. You can use that. That's a good reason to read it every day. We need to know the instructions. If you're a cook, you follow instructions. If you're going on a trip, you follow instructions. If we're going to heaven, we need to follow instructions. Let me ask you a question as we get back to the lesson in living with life's regrets. I'm sure that we all have regrets in our lives. Have you ever made the statement, says, "If I'd have known then what I know now, I would have"? My mother says, "If I'd have known grandchildren was so much fun, I'd have had them first." Most grandparents, I think, are that way. "If I'd have known those grandchildren were so much fun," it don't work that way. You ever made the statement or had the thought, "I woulda, coulda, shoulda"? Yeah. One preacher says that when he'd come home from school and bring his report card home, he'd run around with it in his back pocket for 3 or 4 days and hope the sweat would fade off some of those numbers. "If I'd have known then what I know now, I would have studied harder in school to make better grades." Yeah. Well, my clicker's not working this morning. I don't know why. Harold, you'll just have to click it for me. Please, sir. It ain't, uh-oh. Click one of them other bottom things down there and see if it'll go over to us. That thing is easy to run if you know what you're doing. And it's got, when you put this thing up, it's got three separate things that come up on the bottom to run the projector. There we go. And if you don't have the mouse on that right one, it don't work. I don't know why. Well, there it goes again. Maybe I'm just not aiming it right. Yeah, that looks like some of my report cards when I was going to school. C's and D's and F's, and I scooted through with just barely made it. And it wasn't that I wasn't smart or that I wasn't able to learn. I got away with C's and D's and F's, and my mama spent hours with me up all through junior high to help me make the C's and D's and F's. And I got to be about 15 years old, and Daddy said, "Ken, if you don't have a B average, you're not driving." Because, see, if you had an overall B average with his insurance company, you got a good student discount. And he says, "I'm not paying them outrageously high enough as it is. I'm not paying higher insurance rates for you to drive. If you don't get a B average, well, you know what? With a whole lot less effort, my grades suddenly went to A's and B's." Yeah. Weird, huh? Got off to college, and in college you have to pay to go to college. You know, high school is free. College you have to pay, and it's not cheap. average cost for a college education is $25,000 a year. It's not, you get interested. You study. You want to make good grades. If I'd have known then what I know now, I'd have studied harder and I would have made better grades and I would have. You ever says, I wish I'd have chosen a different career? Or I wish I'd have taken that promotion at the job when it was offered to me, or I wish I'd have moved to this new town with the company and gotten that promotion and advanced in my career. I wished I'd have done. Maybe you say, I wished I hadn't have. I wished I hadn't have taken that promotion. I'd have spent more time with my family. I'd have done more quality things with my family. Some say, you know, if I'd have known then what I know now, I never would have started smoking. I can remember when cigarettes were 90 cents a pack and people would tell me, says, when these things get to a dollar, I'm going to quit. They were just furious because they went from 90 cents to 95 and 97 and 98 and 99 and the people were saying, when they get to a dollar, I'm going to quit. And now they're $5 and they're still smoking. If I'd have known then what I know now, I wouldn't have gotten involved with alcohol or drugs, or I'd have been more careful about the things that I do. There's a lady that lives in our area, and you don't know her, so I don't feel bad about telling you about her, and I'm not going to give you her name, but to tell you this about her, she was one of these young people. She's 19 years old today. And for years, she's been involved with taking some drugs and hanging around with that crowd and that kind of lifestyle, living a little promiscuous. And the other day, the doctor told her that she'd never be able to have children. And she loves kids. She's always wanted to have children. And the doctor told her, said, because of the lifestyle that you have chosen and the results of that lifestyle, you will never be able to have children. Don't you know that? When the doctor told her that, she thought to herself, I would have done it different. I want children. I did a great job in reading Genesis chapter 3 this morning, the first four verses. Don't you know that, and you recall that story? The serpent tricked Eve, and she took of the fruit that God told her not to eat of, and she gave it to Adam, and Adam ate of it. And then in verse 14, the Lord said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. And in verse 16, he said to the woman, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Don't you know when Cain was born, Eve said, if I'd have known, I'd have done different. Don't you know she regretted eating of that fruit? It was bad enough that the Lord put them out of the garden when she ate of the fruit. But because of that one act, every woman has pain in childbearing to this day. And the Lord said to Adam, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return to the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, of dust thou art, and to dust shalt thou return. Up until that point, when they were in the Garden of Eden freely gave to Adam and Eve its bounty. They didn't have to work for their food, other than to go and to gather it. But because of the sin that Adam committed, when you plant a garden today, you have to keep the grass hoed out of it. It doesn't yield to itself the way that it did. Do we not believe that Adam thought to himself, if I'd have known then what I know now? In Genesis chapter 6, you read the story of the flood. How that the Lord said to it, it repented him that he had made man from the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. Genesis 6 and 6. And verse 7, the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from off the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowl of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made him, made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is come upon me. And the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And as you go and you read the rest of Genesis 6, and you go read over in 1 Peter, you find that it was 120 years that Noah worked to build the ark. That 120 years, I imagine that the people mocked Noah. You know, we're good about mocking people and picking at them and making fun of them. When I was going to school, if you wore glasses, you were odd. If you were tall or taller than the rest of your classmates, they would pick fun at you because you were different. Noah's different. He's building an ark. He's telling them about rain. He's telling them about the flood that's coming. Oddball. And then when the animals were in the ark, and Noah and his family went into the ark, and the Lord shut the door, and the rain began to fall, and the waters from the deep began to rise up, and the earth was flooded. Don't you know those people outside the ark wish they had been in the ark? The days of Noah. In the book of Numbers, in chapter 14, verse 36, you read the story of the 12 spies that was sent to spy out the land of Israel, the land of Canaan. They had come out of Egyptian captivity. They crossed the Red Sea. They'd been given the law. 12 spies were sent to spy out the land, and they came back. Numbers 14, verse 36. And they made all the congregation to murmur against him, against Moses, by bringing up a slander upon the land. Even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died in the plague before the Lord. There were 12 spies that went out. 10 came back and said, we can't. We can't take the land. We are but grasshoppers in their sight. We're little. We're nothing. We're this. We're that. We can't do it. All but Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb said, with the Lord's help, we can. We can. And Moses told them in verse 39, said to all the children of Israel, to the people mourned greatly because they were told they couldn't go in. And verse 40, they rose up early in the morning and got them up to the top of the mountain and saying, lo, we're here, and we'll go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. You ever done that? They said, we can't take it. We're too little. We can't do it. And Moses said, because of that, you'll not enter in. They got up the next morning and they said, but we're here anyway. We might as well go ahead, right? Moses said, don't go up because the Lord's not with you. You've already sinned against the Lord. So they went up anyway. And they failed miserably in their attempt to conquer the land of Canaan because the Lord wasn't with them. But it was too late. The deed was done. The decision had been made to reject the Lord and His promises and to trust in Him. It was too late for them to go into the land of Canaan. And that's one of the things about unbelief. It steals us from our opportunities. It's a thief that will take away from you not only your opportunities, but your joys that the Lord wants us to have. Don't you know Esau regretted selling his birthright? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16, 17 says, "Lest there be any fornicators or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For we know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." Esau was hungry, and Jacob came along and offered a deal with him. Jacob had some porridge, stew, whatever you want to call it, something to eat. And he told Esau, he says, "I will give you something to eat if you will give me your birthright." And Esau reasoned within himself and said, "Well, what good is my birthright if I'm dead and I die of starvation?" So he sold his birthright. And later he regretted selling his birthright. Have you ever sold something of great value for less than it was worth? Some people say, "Well, yeah, I sold my house for much less than it was worth because I had to get rid of it." I was just getting deeper and deeper in the hole. Once it's sold, it's too late. Matthew 26, 75. Well, I think I went too far. There it is. Peter stood up and he told Jesus, "I don't care. I will die for you. Jesus, I will die for you. I'll give my life in battle for you." Jesus said, "Peter, before the cock crows, before morning comes, before this night is over, you're going to deny that you even knew me three times." Not just once, but three times. And he did. When the cock crew, Peter looked up and saw Jesus look at him. He went out and he wept bitterly. It's so easy to live the Christian life, sometimes in the church building, isn't it? It's easy to live the Christian life here. When we get outside these doors and we go to our jobs and we deal with people in the community, sometimes it gets hard. Judas, Matthew 27, betrayed Jesus. And verse 3 says, "When he saw that he was condemned, it repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders." Judas, we can speculate all year long as to why he sold the Lord. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Jewish leaders were looking for a way to arrest Jesus. They couldn't do it in the daytime when he was in the temple preaching and teaching because the people were on his side. And they were afraid of the people, so they were looking for an opportunity when they could get Jesus off to himself. And Judas went to them and he says, "I will give you an opportunity. I will find a time and a place where you can go and arrest him without the crowd being around him." And they agreed upon 30 pieces of silver, which oddly enough was the going rate for a common criminal. Common reward. You, You turn in a criminal, you get a cash reward, 30 pieces of silver. Maybe Judas thought that he would get the 30 pieces of silver, Jesus would be arrested, or he'd get away like he had done so many times in the past when the Jews would come after him. He would get lost in the crowd and he'd sneak away. And somehow or another, maybe Judas figured that, you know, Jesus will get away, I get the money. But it didn't happen that way. And when it didn't happen that way, Judas was sorry. And he took the money and he gave it back to the... I don't want it. You know. But it was too late. The deed was done. What about the prodigal son? Luke 15, verses 11 through 32. You know the story. We've heard it many, many times. The son said to his father, give me of thy inheritance. Basically what that amounts to is the younger son, he went and he said, I wish you were dead so I could have my money. I wish you were dead so I could have my inheritance. I could do what I want to with it. The dad divided his money, divided his estate, and gave his youngest son the inheritance. And his younger son went off and he wasted it. He was living high on the hog, as we would call it. He didn't work. He had plenty of money. He didn't invest it. He didn't loan it out to draw interest off of it. He was too busy having a good time, partying every night. He had lots of friends. Of course, if you go to the bar and you're saying, drinks are on me, everybody in there is going to be your friend. And that's what he did. And then the money ran out. And the friends were gone. Folks, you can't buy friendship. It don't work that way. He was trying to buy friends. He was wanting to have a good time. And when he had no money and he had no friends and he was hungry. Now this was a Jewish boy. When he was hungry, he went and he got him a job feeding this man's pigs. And the job didn't pay very well and it wasn't much of a job. It paid so poorly that he was so hungry, he would eat the slop that the pigs was eating. That's pretty bad. So if you've ever seen things that pigs will eat, that's bad. And he rose, and he came to his senses, you might say. And he said, I will arise, and I'll go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Just make me one of your servants. So we look at the choices that we make and living with those regrets. Maybe I didn't make the best career choice. I can change and I can live with that choice. Maybe I didn't make the best educational choices and study as hard as I could. Young folks, if you're still in school, you can do better. You can change. If you're not happy with those C's and D's and F's, most of us can do A's and B's and C's. Maybe not A's in every subject, but do the best you can. You'll be glad you did. Maybe I've done some things that have hurt my health, whether it be smoking cigarettes or drinking alcohol. We know cigarettes damage the body, that it causes strokes and heart attacks and hardens your arteries and all sorts of things. And alcohol damages the body. It kills the brain cells. It destroys the liver. And it does all sorts of harmful things to us. So does overeating. are eating the wrong things, not taking care of the body the way that we should. And you know, if you're not happy with that, and sometimes it's not too late, we can make changes. We can start to make better choices in what we eat and how we exercise and the sleep that we get. We can make those changes, and we can live with what's already been done. Adam and Eve learned to live with the choice that they made. The Israelites wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because of the decision they made. Esau lived with his regrets. And there are many, many more that we can look at. I want to ask us the question this morning. What about us? Of all the regrets that I can live with, there's some that I can't. There is one that I can't. Luke 13, verse 3, Jesus says, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. In Acts 20 and 26 and verse 20, he says, but show first to them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. In Acts chapter 2, Peter and the apostles stood up on the day of Pentecost to preach the first gospel sermon. They convicted the Jews, many of them, I wouldn't say all of them, but many of them, that they were guilty of crucifying God's Son, the promised Messiah, the one that the Old Testament prophets prophesied was coming, the one they'd been looking for all of their life. And they interrupted Peter in the middle of his sermon, and they says, men and brethren, what shall we do? What can we do? How can we be forgiven of this heinous sin? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What about repentance? Well, my battery may be going dead. Acts 3 and verse 19 says, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Acts 8:22, repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thy heart be forgiven thee. Second Peter 3 and verse 4 tells us, where's the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. And whereby the world that then was, being overflown with water, perish, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. In the days of Noah, people, you know, Noah, for 100 years you've been preaching that there's this flood coming. For 100 years you've been saying the flood's coming, this is happening. Where is it? 119 years, 120 years. No, you've been saying the flood's coming. And for 2,000 years, we've been saying the Lord is coming again. And this time, the world is going to be destroyed. It's going to melt with a fervent heat. The works that are here are going to be done away with. What then? Matthew 25, there are three stories, three parables. The first one is the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. They've been invited to a marriage feast, and they were waiting for the bridegroom to come. And while they waited for the bridegroom, their lamps went out. And when the announcement was made, the bridegroom has come, he's here, it's time to get up and to go into the feast. 5 of those virgins had extra oil to put into their lamps, and 5 did not. And the 5 foolish virgins said to the 5 others, "Give us some of your oil, that we may go in also." And the 5 wives said, "Not so, lest there be not enough for you and us." I'm not going to make it to heaven because I attend services at the Church of Christ. I'm not going to make it there because I am considered among the number. I'm going to make it there on my own or by myself. Not that my works are going to get me there, but I can't depend on the fact that I am a member of the church. God saying, "Okay, all you members of the church, just come on in. If you're on the roll, come on in." I'm not going to make it there because my mother and my father are members of the church, or because my wife or my husband is a member of the church, my spouse, my children. That's not going to do it. It's an individual salvation thing. Verses 14 through 30, same chapter, is this the parable of the talents. Lord of this estate, he called his servants together, and he gave one servant 5 talents, and he gave one 2 talents, and he gave one talent. And you know the story. When the master of the estate came back and he called the servants in to give a reckoning, it was too late then. For them to change. Too late. In verses 31 through 40 is a judgment scene. Verse 34 says, "Then shall the king say to those on his right hand, 'Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" Jesus is, in verse 31, he divides the just from the unjust, the saved from the lost, the righteous from the unrighteous, like a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. To those who are saved, those who are obedient to him, those on the right-hand side, he says, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you." And the gates of heaven are opened, and those that are saved enter in. And those that are on the left, those that are lost, those that refuse to obey, those who knew what to do, those who didn't know what to do, he'll turn to them. And it said, "Depart from me, ye cursed, in an everlasting fire that was prepared for the devil and his angels." I want to point out 2 things, and the lesson is yours. Number 1, God never intended for you to spend eternity with the devil and his angels. It wasn't prepared for you, it was prepared for them. He wants you to spend eternity with him in a heavenly home, surrounded by his love for all of eternity. But the choice is yours. There are only two places you can spend eternity. Those are the only two that's made. One made for Him, one made for His creation, those that He loves, and one made for the devil and for His angels. The second thing that I want you to remember, as I was preparing for this lesson, those on the left watch as the gates are open. Watch as the saved enter in. They get to see what the Lord had prepared for them that they will not get to enjoy. Maybe the saddest words in all of eternity that those on the left will have is that it could have been. I could have gone through those pearly gates. I could have entered into that city where the streets are made of gold. I could live with Jesus for all of eternity. I can live with many of life's regrets. I can live with the regret of poor grades. I can live with the regret of career choices. I can live with many regrets, but the one regret that I will never want to live with is losing heaven. Amen. If you're not a child of God this morning, you've never repented of your sins and surrendered your life to Jesus, never confessed Him as Lord and Savior and been immersed in water for the forgiveness of those sins and added to His kingdom, the opportunity is yours this morning. If you as one of His children have not lived a life that you know to be pleasing to Him, the opportunity to make your life right is yours this morning. So that in eternity, the one regret you won't have to live with is the one that you can never change. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, won't you please do so while we stand and sing.